I'm Bruce Argyle. You've joined us for our regular Thursday morning Community Conversations program. Thanks for being a regular listener, if that's you. And if you're a first-time listener, welcome. Love to have your company this morning. This program, we talk to interesting people, find out interesting things, and perhaps learn some things along the way. Wow, the countdown is on, isn't it? It's the 9th of December, and we've just got a couple more programs leading up to Christmas. We've had some amazing programs the last couple of months, and if you've missed some of those, they are podcast here, thanks to you, Greg, on Yarra Valley FM, on our podcast, on our website. And just to mention a few, wow, we had Bob Ganaway talking about Memorial Day. That was an amazing interview a few weeks back. Last week, we had a conversation with John Brennan and Jeff Barlow about Yarra Valley Community Power Hub and Core and their home energy, well, their webinar coming up this coming Monday, actually. So if you missed that, I'll tell you a bit more about that later. Neil Taylor from Holy Fools. Neil, amazing what you're doing with homeless and disadvantaged people leading up to Christmas. Well done. Pamela Sutton-Legault talking about fundraising and the national bird count. Well, and the amazing Nicole Slingsby talking about wills and estates. That's just to whet your appetite and a whole lot of others. If you missed any of those or if you want to know really what's happening around the place, have a look at some of our podcasts. Well, we have an amazing selection of songs this morning from someone who actually knows songs. You see, I don't really. And have you guessed already? It's Megan Buntine. Hi, Megan.
Hi,
you,
Bruce.
You know your songs. I don't.
I don't know. I just know the ones I like, I guess.
For those of you who haven't heard Megan's dulcet tones on radio before, she, well, I don't know how many. You've done half a dozen programs this year, Megan.
Yeah, I think so, at least.
Yeah, so for those of you who don't know her, Megan works with community groups, with not-for-profit organisations to develop strategy. You do strategic planning. You do, wow, all sorts of planning stuff, Megan. You do lots of governance stuff for organisations, helping them to be in a better place in terms of structure and the way they work.
Yeah, so really focusing on boards and committees of management of not-for-profit organisations and looking at where are their areas of need and how I can help them with that. So whether it's sort of through board mentoring or governance training or strategic planning, helping them, I guess, to improve their practice and therefore that impacts on the outcomes and the value that they can add to the community.
Well, anyone who comes on air more than six times in the year becomes a friend of the station, Megan. So that's you. You don't get a life membership or anything yet.
That's good.
But Megan and I were talking about what would we do for our last program together for the year. And even though we've had months of lockdown and COVID and perhaps there's times where we don't feel like celebrating, well, if we don't celebrate at the end of the year, when do we? And so the program today, we're going to talk about a little bit of mixture of celebration of the things of the past year and also a little bit about planning the year ahead. So do we do celebrating very well, Megan, in Australia, do you think?
I don't know that we do necessarily, and sometimes it's about just celebrating the little things too, and lots of little things. Like, for example, I'm celebrating today the fact that I'm actually in the studio for the first time yeah. since March last year. So, I think we need to see the little things around us that are worth noting and worth celebrating as positives. We tend to get a bit caught up in the busyness of what we need to get done sometimes, and I think we forget to reflect back on what we've actually achieved. So I guess now is a great time to do that.
Is
the end of the year.
It certainly is. And I know there are people listening this morning, and I maybe feel this way a little bit myself at times, that it hasn't been a big year for celebrating a whole lot of things, Megan. And for many groups, for many community organisations, it's been tough. We haven't been able to have events. We haven't been able to do fundraisers. We haven't been able to, well, mix and mingle. We haven't been able to see each other in three dimensions.
Yeah, that's true, isn't it? And, you know, I guess this is a bit like celebrating, but I think at the end of every day, if you can sit down and think about three things that you're grateful for that day, it's like a mini celebration every day, isn't it? It's about that positive psychology and mindset as well.
It certainly is. And when we look back, Megan, despite what I've just said now, most community groups have continued their work. They have continued to support the community to do the things that they do best, and that's in the face of lockdowns and having to do things differently. So do we have to celebrate differently as well?
Well, hopefully not now that we're actually allowed to gather together. Yeah, I think it is amazing to look at what our not-for-profits have done over the past, well, more than 18 months now, how they've, and I hate that word pivot, but I keep using it because it just sums it up, you know, what we've all had to do, really look at how we're doing things and change, you know, turn on a dime and do things differently so that we continue to do what it is that we do to add value to our community. So you talked before about organisations that are supporting people who are experiencing homelessness and, you know, whether it's food banks and all sorts of really important organisations are still doing that great work, but just doing it in a different way.
It seems to me, Megan, that the first part of celebrating is actually acknowledging, isn't it? Contributions and so on.
Like yeah, that people... I think so. You know, I think back to when I was part of the tourism organisation up near home, and you know, at the end of every year, we'd have a Christmas get together, and we'd really make a fuss of the volunteers. The volunteers were so critical to running our information centre up there, and you know, talking to guests and visitors who came to the area, and telling them all the great places to go and things to see, and giving them a really positive experience along the way. So, you know, recognising the people who are so critical to what you do, and for most of our not-for-profits, those people are volunteers. So, you know, it's so important that we acknowledge people, even if it's in some small way.
And don't forget the little things, Megan.
Absolutely. You know, it doesn't have to be a big thing. Just, you know, I even think, I remember one occasion we went through a process where we at the end of the year with our volunteers there at the information centre, we made up a silly little award for everybody. So it's just a fun thing to do so that people felt a bit special and recognised for the hard work that they give freely every year.
And along the way, intertwined with that, I guess, is the lessons learned and things that we might have, well, we might have done well, but we could have done better or something like that.
Yeah, and I think too, there's been lots of lessons learned over the last 18 months to 2 years as to how we can do things better going forward, even not in the COVID sort of environment. You know, simple things. I mean, I know everyone's complaining about Zoom doom, but I think the whole idea of being able to connect with people remotely is becoming much more mainstream now. And I know, and you've been involved in some of these too, Bruce, the not-for-profit networking lunches that I've been running sort of throughout the lockdown period, and that's been really well received. And I'm getting the message loud and clear from people who've been involved in those that they want that to continue even after the lockdown's finished, because it's enabled them to connect with people, you know, really all over the country. I mean, as you know, we've had people from South Australia and Tassie and Queensland involved and all over Victoria, and people are able to network with people that they've never had any contact with before and find out about new organisations. So I think that's just one example of, you know, something that's positive that's come out of the last 18 months or so that we can celebrate and we can do more of going forward.
You were saying to me off air that it's a bit like a bit of the silver lining of the lockdowns.
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, sometimes it's a case of we get caught up in all the challenges associated with it, but, you know, recognise those silver linings when they do pop up and think about how can we sort of take those forward with us. And it's really, it's motivating and encouraging, I think, to, you know, to see those positive things and to celebrate those things. And everyone loves a celebration, don't they?
We do. And just before we go to your first song, Megan, you and I are going to a celebration tomorrow morning of Child Safe Australia's 15 years of ensuring child safe environments. Good on you, Child Safe Australia. And you with Bruce Argyle here in the studio with Megan Buntine. The first time we've been able to actually meet face to face, Megan. It's a nice change from Zoom. And we're talking celebrating the year past and planning the year ahead. And wow. Celebrating. Does it start with celebrating our own achievements before we actually celebrate the group that we're involved with, Megan? Do we need to give ourselves a pat on the back individually before we pat the group on the back?
I think that's probably a good idea, isn't it? Given the year that we've just been through, you know, it might simply be a celebration of the fact that your organisation survived and you along with it have survived it.
Yes. Okay. And part of the celebrating, the acknowledging of achievements and the acknowledgement of contributions along the way is also looking at the lessons learnt, and you flagged that before, and things that we would do differently. And I guess that takes us into planning, Megan. But before we go there, what else is important when it comes to celebrating and acknowledging? Anything that you think is critical that we don't that we don't lose?
Oh, look, I think that it can be simple. I think simple is often easier and better. And given the way everyone's feeling at the moment, I think we're all probably feeling a bit fatigued. So keep it simple. You know, even if it's as simple as going out to a park on a sunny day when summer comes back, that is. And everyone brings a plate and we get together and just, you know, share some time together and in a positive way. So whatever it means for you to acknowledge what's happened and what's gone and pick out some of the good things that you've done over the year and how can you take that forward into the new year.
Wow. Do you feel like celebrating? Do you feel like 2021 has just got away from you? Perhaps 2020 as well? It's been almost 2 years, hasn't it? And I know many of us are feeling very weary, Megan. We've pushed ourselves and pushed and prodded and tried to keep going in the face of very, very different circumstances. And good on you if you are a group out there that, you know, that you have continued to provide services and support and to achieve your mission in the face of very different circumstances.
Yeah, I think, as you said, just when we were talking off air, it's a busy time of year at the best of times, and people are wanting to catch up pre-Christmas, as we always do at this time of the year. But then the added layer that we've got on top of that is that we're just coming out of sort of the lockdown period, and people are wanting to catch up because they haven't seen each other for such a long time. So I think part of it is be kind to yourself along the way as well. Don't expect too much. And that's probably comes back to what I was saying before about keep it simple when you're getting together. Don't sort of make it too much of an arduous task to organise things, but do find a way to get together, and even if it's just catching up for a drink after work or something on a Friday night with your team, with your committee, with your board or with your members, and just acknowledging that you've done a great job and you've got through this difficult time.
So let's start to look ahead then, Megan. I know most of us are probably thinking, well, hang on, I've got my Christmas shopping to do. That's ahead in the next week or two, and I've got to catch up with this person, and I've got that event, and I've got that other meeting I've got to go to, and I've got to get that finished before the end of the year. So it's a bit of a challenging time to be looking ahead beyond the end of the year, Megan, right now.
Yeah, I think you're right in that regard too, but even if you draw a line under the year that was and think about, okay, think positively and what are the possibilities and opportunities for next year, and maybe it's a case of let's just take January off and come back in February and start again. I think a lot of the organisations that I'm talking to at the moment are doing that sort of thing. You know, we're coming together, we're facilitating a bit of a conversation about, you know, where have we been and what are we going to do going forward. So maybe it's a good time to review, you know, and set down some goals for the coming year. Maybe you've just had your AGM and you've got a new committee or a new board or some new members within your existing group there. So it's a good time to sort of reorientate everybody who's been there for a while and orientate the newbies and think about, well, what are we going to do in the future? And hopefully next year isn't as a stop start, I guess, is the last couple of years, and we can get some more consistency and get some more runs on the board.
Megan, I know well that you've helped many organisations with their strategic planning and looking 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years ahead, and just being quite intentional about, you know, why does the organisation exist, what's the purpose, and what are we trying to achieve, and so on. But it seems to me, I'd just be interested in your comments on this, that right now, as we sort of come on the out of COVID and have a little more freedom, and we look at December and January, it seems to me that now's maybe a time just for some conversations, some discussions, some reflections without sort of necessarily having the, you know, let's do 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, you know, just a bit of a more general conversation. What do you think about that?
Yeah, and that's exactly what I was sort of alluding to before. That's the sort of work I'm doing with organisations at the moment who've just had their AGMs. It's not that they're going back and doing a full strategic plan review, but it's just about refocusing and reorientating themselves to what the key things are. Like, what's our purpose? What are we here for? What's our overall strategy? And let's sort of think ahead as to how that can sort of play out in the new year. Often they've already got their action plans or their operational plans sort of written out or established, so it's just a case of revisiting that and refocusing and thinking about what that means in the year ahead.
Megan, in your interactions with groups, what are some of the lessons? What are some of the things that people have learnt to do differently in the face of different, you know, have you noted some particular patterns or things that groups are saying, yeah, we've really learned that we need to do more of whatever, you know?
I think the single biggest change that I've noticed, and I'm sure other people have noticed this too, is the fact that we're all accepting the online and the remote meetings a lot more. And as much as, yeah, there are some challenges associated with that, I think people recognise the benefits of, you know, not having to travel the distances, not having to be out on the road at night, particularly in winter when it's cold and dark earlier, you know, particularly around our areas where you're dodging wildlife most of the time when you're on the road at night. You know, the benefits around that, the fact that you can have people over a greater geographical area who are coming together without having to worry about getting room on there, the costs and the time associated with travel. So I think that's probably one of the biggest things that I think people will probably carry forward with them into the new normal.
Do you think groups have also done a bit of a stock take, a bit of a, hang on, what are we really trying to do? Do you think that we're a little bit more focused? Is that the right thing? You know, why do we exist? And you know, it's tough. So what are we trying to do, kind of thing, or not?
I think possibly, particularly the groups have been particularly impacted in the way they do their service delivery in the COVID times, have looked at, okay, let's go back to fundamentals. What is our purpose? Why do we exist? And how can we deliver, at least in some, you know, small way on that sort of primary purpose? Whereas I think sometimes when we've got the capacity and the time and the freedom to do a whole range of things, we can maybe get distracted a bit from that. So is it about coming back to our core purpose and just focusing on that one thing and doing that one thing well, finding a way to do it in, you know, in challenging times and just focusing on achieving that?
You're listening to Megan Buntine. I didn't introduce Megan correctly at the beginning, but Megan is the founder and director of MJB Consulting. If you want to find out more about the amazing resources and tools and all sorts of things around strategic planning and governance, go on her website, www.mjbconsulting, all one word, .net.au, or you can send Megan an email, megan@mjbconsulting.net.au. Lots of free resources, ideas, places to go, things to do, and wonderful resources there. Megan, we've been talking about celebrating the achievements of the last year, but we've also started to think about next year and planning. And Megan, what's the starting point for that?
I think for some people at the moment, all they want to do is get through to the end of the year and they don't want to think about starting yes. point. Other organisations that I'm talking to are champing at the bit and can't wait. So I think work out where your organisation is at and, you know, don't be too hard on yourself because planning can sometimes involve quite a lot of work, can't it?
It can. And Megan, for some, the first part of planning for next year, I reckon, is having a little bit of time out.
Yeah, absolutely. Freshen yourself up and, you know, clear your head a bit. And, you know, maybe it's about just a thinking process, having a bit of a brainstorm or, you know, creative a thought process that comes up with, well, what are the possibilities? What could we do? And obviously, you know, we need to build in some contingencies because we don't know what's going to happen next winter. But hopefully we can sort of continue on and life gets back to a bit of more normal pre-COVID type of situation. So I think the key thing with planning is that it's ongoing and we do it all the time, whether we're in difficult circumstances or not. It's not a set and forget. It's something that we continue on and we adapt it to the current circumstances.
It's also, isn't it, Megan, about getting the best out of the resources you've got and the people you've got and so on?
Yeah, definitely. And I think for our not-for-profits, that's so important, isn't it? Because so many of us run on the, you know, smell of an oily rag, so to speak. So the more planning you can do, the more effective and efficient you can be with the limited resources that you do have, whether that be time, whether that be money, whether that be people. You know, and planning can, really at the end of the day, planning can help us cope better with disruptions that do come along. If we do a bit of crisis planning, particularly at the moment, I think, you know, if we were to think about the risks and the hazards and the threats, you know, a few years ago, I don't think there would have been many of us that would have put pandemic on our risk register, but I think now pretty much everyone would. So it gives us the chance to think through how we would respond if something like that were to happen again or similar. Mm. issues.
Megan, some of the groups I feel that have, as you said earlier, pivoted or readjusted themselves have perhaps narrowed their focus and said, you know what, let's not try and do everything. Let's, you know, what is our core purpose, as you said a moment ago, and to focus on a few things and doing a few things well.
Yeah, and look, I mean, it might be a case of going back to your members or your stakeholders or your clients, whoever it is that you serve through the work that you do, and asking them, you know, given the circumstances, what's important for you? What's important that we continue on with or that we focus on, you know, if we've got to pare back on what we're doing, if we've only got limited resources or limited capacity to do things, what are the key things that you want us to continue on so that it makes a difference to your world?
Megan, I know we've had this conversation before, but there seems to be two groups. There's one who have done a strategic plan and they've got an amazing vision of where they want to be in 2 and 5 years' time from now, and there's others that haven't done one at all. So let's take those two scenarios. For those who don't have a plan at all, what would you be saying to them, Megan?
Well, what's the old saying? We don't plan to fail, we fail to plan. So I think that's a good reminder of the fact that even with a simple plan in place, we're going to be more effective and more efficient in doing what we do. That's not to say you won't achieve things if you don't have a plan, but I think you'll be much more focused and you'll achieve more if you do have a plan. I think actually there's three groups, you know. There's the ones who don't plan, there's the ones who do plan, and then we can divide the ones who do plan in half again, because there's the ones that, and I find that there's a lot of them that do this, that they put the plan in place and then the plan sits on a shelf or goes in a drawer and doesn't see the light of day again. It's sort of like a tick and forget. So we need to make sure that we fall into the third group, which are the ones that have the plan but then implement that plan.
And review it, Megan.
Yeah, absolutely. So even if it's just a simple case of putting it on your agenda at your monthly meetings or however often you meet as a board or as a committee of management, and making sure that you go back to it and look at, well, what were we aiming to achieve in the past month or the past couple of months, yeah, and have we achieved it? If not, why not? And then sort of continue on and, you know, tweak it as you go. It's a bit like, you know, the sailing a yacht. To get from A to B, you never go in a straight line. You tack along the way, sort of continually tweaking it as you go. Mm. And I think it's a very good analogy for the planning process, or the implementation, I should say, of the plan. You know, we have our destination set out at the start, but rarely does it go smoothly and straight. So we sort of have to keep monitoring it along the way.
Mm. Megan, I think there's a lot of people out there who are re-evaluating, are reviewing their involvement. As you said before, most organisations rely heavily on volunteers, and people are reviewing their commitment to organisations, to doing particular things, and whether they'll continue doing it or whether they want to spend some travel time or some more time with family or something. Do you feel that's something that is happening at the moment?
I think in a lot of ways people are reassessing what they're doing in life, whether it's work or whether it's their community involvement. And I guess when you think about the fact that one of the things that adds to our own individual quality of life is getting involved in community and having that sense of purpose, connecting with other people, I think there's always going to be a benefit to be had for us as individuals to get involved with community organisations. So whilst I think people might be feeling that they need to sort of pare back a bit, perhaps, I think there's always going to be an element of people are wanting to get involved with their community, just because of, you know, for most of us, that's what sort of makes your heart sing, getting involved with whatever your pet passion project is.
And you've joined us this morning for Community Conversations here on Yarra Valley FM 99.1. I'm Bruce Argyle. In the studio this morning, I have Megan Buntine, and we're talking celebrating the past, planning for the future, and a little bit of respite or reflection perhaps in between those two. There you go. It's hard to believe it's the 9th of December, and yes, we're only, well, a couple of weeks away, aren't we, from the big day, three weeks, I guess, and many of us are looking forward to having a break over Christmas, New Year, and I know I'll be off here for a little while in January. If you are someone who would like to come on here, we'd love to hear from you, and you can just make contact here with the station and we'll slot you in somewhere. That would be fantastic, because we're doing a bit of planning for next year as well. So, Megan, a quick summary of reflecting. We want to look back and remember the good things and learn from those that didn't go so well.
Yeah, that's right. And I think, you know, find the things to celebrate. It's motivating, it's encouraging, and it gets people sort of G'd up for the new year. And I guess, you know, what are you going to do, Bruce, to celebrate the year gone?
Yes, I am going to. As you know, Megan, I'm a bit of a list person. I was telling you about that. And so I think it is important to tick those things off the list. Someone told me recently that the best way of feeling like you're really achieving something is you break the list down even more. So where you might have had one task before, you make it into three or four, and you can tick it four times. Even though it was maybe a very small task or something, but I can proudly say that I had a list of 62 things to do that I wanted to achieve during the COVID lockdown, and I'm down to 19 now. So that's more than two-thirds done, Megan.
Well, that's something to celebrate, isn't it?
Yeah. So, and I know many people have proudly achieved things that they wouldn't have been able to do otherwise, whether that is spending more time with family or doing things around home, or I know there's some amazing gardens around the Yarra Valley that have never looked better. So well done, you gardeners out there. Megan, so we've talked about a little bit of a break. We've talked about having some time out, but we have also said that planning, you've just said planning is an ongoing thing. It's not something that we do, that we stop and start.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, you know, it's important to remember that and build it into the way that we work. You know, it's got to be part of the DNA, I guess, of our organisations, is that planning, so that you're continually moving forward, you're continually delivering on your purpose, you're continually adding whatever value it is that you contribute to the community. So, as you know, I'm a big fan of planning in all its forms, and it, you know, it doesn't have to be really complex. It can be as simple as you said, you know, write a list and then go from there. Sit down and put some dates around that, and who's going to take responsibility, and you're halfway there. So whatever makes sense for your organisation, but in some way, shape or form, get those plans in place and look ahead to the new year and what are the possibilities and the opportunities and the great things that you could do for your organisation and the broader community.
I was reading about New Year's resolutions, Megan, just this morning, and they were saying that even though many people sort of lose the momentum or the initial intent 1 to 2 weeks after their New Year's resolution, there's still, according to this survey I looked at, 46% of the population are successful in making positive changes towards their New Year's resolution if they actually write it down, Megan. That seems to be the key.
Absolutely. With everything, you've got to get it out of your head and onto some paper. And the other thing I think too is share it with other people. So whether it's your plan or whether it's your New Year's resolution, the more people you share it with, the greater the accountability is going to be, and the more likely you are to deliver on it.
The other stat I saw, Megan, was that only about 5% of people actually make goals and write them down, and only about 1% review them afterwards.
Yeah, that's that implementation that I was talking about before, isn't it? And, you know, it's interesting, that stat about how few people actually make goals in the first place. I'd totally agree with that. I think for someone like me who's worked in areas where people have received funded services, so they've had to have a plan, I look at the people in the broader community and very few of them actually have a plan in place. So it's like, well, how can we take that model that we use in our agencies, whether it's disability or aged care or whatever, that we're planning madly for the people who we serve, but let's actually take a leaf out of that book and plan for ourselves as well. You know, it's that notion that we'll plan a wedding but we won't plan a life, or we'll plan a holiday but we won't plan our life.
I like that.
So, I think that, you know, whether it's, you know, I thought that I was doing pretty well having a 10-year plan, and then I met a woman a couple of years ago who has a 50-year plan. I thought, oh, isn't that great? I'm going to do that too.
So, there you go. Wow. Is planning so hard? Why don't more of us do it, Megan?
I don't know. I think, you know, maybe people do think it's hard, but it's not. It can be as simple as you want to make it, yeah. And I think, you know, if anybody has any questions or queries or concerns about planning, I'm more than happy to talk to them, because I'll talk to them till I'm blue in the face and convince them of the merits of planning.
Fantastic. And I'll give Megan's email address if you want to make contact. It's megan@mjbconsulting.net.au. And as she's just indicated, happy to chat with any of you in this space. So there you go. Is it an activity, planning, is it an activity that's better done together, Megan, in terms of the group, or is it something that people should go away and have their own thoughts about and then come back together in the new year or something?
Look, I think that there's benefits in both approaches. So when I do planning with organisations, I tend to do just that. I do both. So I get people to think individually first, because I think otherwise you come together in a group and you try to start the thinking process there. You fall into this group think and you don't come up with as much or as good ideas as you do if you individually have those starting thoughts. So there's a sort of a process that I walk people through in that way. And then once we've got that initial thinking happening, then we bring it all together and sort of sort through it and prioritise what's important. So, yeah, I think there's benefits in both elements, and they both play an important part in planning well.
Thanks for being a part of Community Conversations this morning, and I hope you've found our conversation really valuable, as I know I have. Megan, thanks so much for coming all the way into the studio from Buxton and being our special guest today.
It's been very special to get back down here after 18 months.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
And we'll look forward, Megan. I think I can twist your arm to come back next year. We have done a little bit of planning about that, and look forward to your company again in 2022.
Look forward to being here with you, Bruce. Thank you.